this morning's message is entitled "Give Me Children," and our last hymn that we just sang fits in very well with the subject this morning. And I want to say, by means of preface, I realize that there are some ladies sometimes that are unable to have children or have had troubles in childbearing, and this sermon is certainly not my intention to open up any old wounds. And we pray for you and pray that God will be gracious to you and that His grace will be sufficient. But there's a very deep, strong, undeniable desire for a lady to bear children. And that's something that's natural and at the same time supernatural. Something that is part of our makeup. There's also something that God gives to every woman, a desire to bear children. And when that desire is unable to be fulfilled, when that desire is not met, then there's some deep, deep anguish associated with that thing. A great desire. It's worse than unrequited love. The desire to have children and the inability to do so, or for whatever reason being denied that. In Psalm 113, verse 9, our text says, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." I had a Sunday school teacher who for years her and her husband had tried to have children and never had any children. And they just figured that perhaps she was barren or one thing or the other. But they had gotten the victory over that thing and were cheerful and obedient, and the reason that they took on the Sunday school and the Awana clubs and everything and working with the church's children, they figured, well, if I can't have any children of my own, I'll be a blessing to somebody else's kids. And you know what happened? Years and years after doing that, they got twins. I mean, she didn't just get pregnant with one baby, but with two. Twins, man. And that was a great time of rejoicing, and I look back on that and with great fond memories of, and just seeing how what a glowing face she had, boy, when she was walking around. I'm telling you, boy, she was big, too. Just as big around as she was tall, just about. And it just thrilled my heart to know that after years and years of trying and praying and crying and eventually becoming resolved to the thing, God gave them those children kind of in an older age, you know. And what a blessing that was. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this text. I pray, dear Lord, that You would help me, God, to bring out the truth and the light of these things in the appropriate way. I pray, dear God, that You would give me unction and zeal from on high, Lord, the strength to be able to preach this message the way that You want it preached. I pray that Your people, Lord, would take heed and pay attention and put these things into practice in their own lives, dear Lord, so that we might bring glory to Jesus Christ and that we might be pleasing to God the Father. Lord, what a wonderful God You are, and how great Thou art, and how blessed and happy we are that we're Your people. And we thank You, Lord, that this day, Sunday, and the year 2007, the calendar itself brings glory to Thy name and is set by Your birth. And how glad we are, Lord, that You've redeemed us and that You've called us and that You've set us apart, Lord, to be Your servants and to be vessels for Your honor. And we thank You for it. I pray that You would bless everything that's said and done. May You rebuke every unclean spirit or every hindrance to the message that You have for us. I pray the Holy Spirit would breathe upon this outline and give it life so that it can impart grace to those that hear it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul referred to his converts as his children. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, he writes, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." And as Christians, we should be multiplying after our kind. When God created the trees, He put in them seed, yielding fruit so that they could multiply after their kind. He told the animals, multiply after their kind. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And as Christians, we should be multiplying. We should be creating other Christians. And in Ephesians, we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I think to many Christians nowadays, that is simply limited to learning the Romans Road or reading books about soul-winning tactics. That's not all that entails, being prepared to preach the gospel, to tell the gospel, to witness for Jesus Christ, is something that takes some preparation. And, you don't just automatically start having babies. It takes some work, amen? It takes some action. And here in this sermon, I want to give you some some things that are necessary for us to bring forth children as Christians. I'm talking about spiritual children, converts, if you will. I'm not talking about your physical children. I'm talking about spiritual converts. And the first thing that's absolutely essential in order for us to have more children, in order for us to bring a birth into the kingdom of God, we must, as Christians, know Christ. You're not going to get anybody saved if you're not saved. You're not going to give anybody the gospel and have it be effective and have the word mixed with faith and bring forth a new birth into the kingdom of God if you yourself aren't saved and born of God. You must first know Christ. Just Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived. In order for you to conceive spiritual children, you must first know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it seems unnecessary to say this, but unless you know Christ, you cannot bear spiritual children. And there are many people who get involved in the work of churches and involved in the work of churchianity, and they get the cart before the horse, and they're trying to preach and teach the gospel, and they themselves haven't even submitted to the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." And just as ridiculous as it would have been for God to tell Adam, be fruitful and multiply, without first providing him a wife and a way to do that, it is ridiculous for us to think that we could somehow win people to Christ without ourselves first knowing Christ and becoming one with Him. It's a natural consequence of abiding in Christ to bear fruit and bring forth spiritual children. He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches, you abide in me, I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit." It's nothing that you have to and strain at. It's simply a natural consequence of abiding in Christ. However, a fruit tree doesn't bear fruit all year round. It brings forth fruit in its season. The rest of the time, it's just standing there. You know, wintertime, all the leaves have fallen off. It looks dead. It's just standing there being a fruit tree. And there are times in your Christian life where you're not necessarily bearing any visible fruit, but you are still called upon to be a Christian. And the fruit will come eventually. Sometimes Christians go through a time of barrenness where they are no spiritual children, no bearing of spiritual fruit. And there are several women in the Scriptures that were barren, and God miraculously opened their wombs and gave them children. And I'd like to use them for an example of the power of God producing fruit in the life of a Christian. That's why the message is entitled, "Give Me Children. Give Me Children." You know what? As a Christian, you ought to yearn to want to lead souls to Jesus Christ. There ought to be something inside of you that cannot keep silent. That it would be like the apostles, you know, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I'm a debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the Scythians, to the wise, to the Jews, to the Gentiles. I've got to preach the gospel to them. Amen? I mean, if you knew the cure for cancer and you didn't spread that thing from the housetops and tell everybody you knew, you'd be a monster, not a hero. Listen, brethren, we know how to escape hell. We know the cure for sin. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary that can grant sinners eternal life and forgiveness. Shame on us if we keep that a secret. And I'd like to give you some examples from the Scripture of ladies in the Bible who were barren and God miraculously provided them with offspring, with children, with fruit. And we can learn some things about that and help us in our own fruit bearing for Jesus Christ. First of all, I'd like to look at Sarah. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. It said, "But Sarai was barren, she had no child." And you must realize how this must have weighed upon Abraham and Sarah. They loved children, wanted children, prayed for children, and yet she was barren and had no child. And when God tells Abraham, "Abraham, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward," Abraham says, "Lord, that's great, but the only heir I have is my servant, this Eliezer of Damascus." And the Lord says, "Don't worry, Abraham, I'm going to give you children like the stars of heaven and like the sand on the seashore." Look at Genesis 17, verse 15. But you know what it took? It took faith. If you're going to bear fruit as a Christian, if you're going to see spiritual children being born into the kingdom of God, if you're going to have a hand in doing that, as Paul did with Timothy, calling him his own son in the faith, you're not only going to have to know Christ yourself, but you are going to have to exercise faith. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." Isaac, by the way, means laughter. Kind of God's tongue-in-cheek remark here about Abraham laughing. "And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, but I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." And he left off talking with him, and God went up from before Abraham. You know what Abraham had to do? Abraham and Sarah had to exercise faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." You know, we hear so much about going after souls, and you know, in fundamentalists and Baptist churches and those circles, there's a lot of emphasis put on soul winning and going out there and winning souls and reading books about soul winning. Let's go after souls. But when we should first be going after Christ. Christ said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And the reason why maybe some people are barren in their fruit for Jesus Christ when it comes to bringing in other Christians and multiplying is because they have not followed after Christ. If you and I really believe the promises of Scriptures, there will eventually be new life born into the kingdom of God. Faith is what it took. Souls will not get saved just because you argued them into praying a sinner's prayer with you. Unless the Spirit of God moves upon them by the hearing of the Word of God and brings conviction of their lost condition, they will not see the need for trusting Christ with their whole heart. Through faith, you must judge Him faithful who has promised. You have to be patient in faith. And many times as a young Christian, I was so impatient. And I knew the truth, and I had the truth. I had a lot of knowledge from the Bible. And boy, I was zealous, and man, I wanted to get people saved. And I would sit down with a fellow, and I would just argue him, and I wouldn't let him go till he prayed. And a fellow did that one time. After hours, brother, and I had him hogtied by the Bible, he finally prayed, bowed his head and prayed. But I knew as soon as he finished that it wasn't real. I knew as soon as he said amen, the Lord smote my heart and said, that thing is not genuine, it's not real. And I said, oh God, I promise you I'll never do this again. That thing plagued me after that. I want to make sure that God is involved in that work. This is not a fleshly, carnal thing. It is a spiritual truth. It is a spiritual reality. Unless Christ does the work, it cannot be done. Unless the Holy Spirit accompanies your witness and speaks to the heart of that person and convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, there's no way in the world they can be saved if they repeated 500 prayers. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. You know what? Christians have become discontent with doing what Christ called them to do. He didn't say, go out and win all the souls you can win. That's what they think. And that's what their aim is and their goal is. That is not the goal. The goal is not going out there and winning them. The goal is going out there and planting and watering, and God gives the increase. It's God that wins them. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He repeats himself, hey, I'm not anything. I'm not a soul winner. I'm a planter, amen? I'm a sower of the Word of God. I sow the seed, and I water the seed, but it's God that has to give the increase. That thing is alive. If it becomes alive, it becomes alive through the breath of God. Not by my ability to argue somebody into agreeing with my points. Many times we think, man, I got all this Bible in my head. I got to go out there and just overwhelm people. But Paul said the preaching of the cross of Christ is not with wisdom of words, lest the preaching of the cross should become of none effect. That's why people don't get saved now. Because we're so busy trying to impress them with how much we know about the Bible instead of impressing them with how we know Christ. You cannot quit planting and watering because of a supposed lack of results. Abraham and Sarah went 100 years without any children. And when God said you're going to have children, they both of them left. But in Hebrews it says she judged him faithful who had promised, and through faith she received strength to conceive seed. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to exercise faith that God is going to bless the witness that you give. That God is going to bless the gospel tracts that you put out. That God is going to bless the testimony that you have before your lost friends and relatives and strangers. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." You know, sometimes God uses you for condemnation rather than salvation of lost people. Sometimes God uses your witness from the Word of God to condemn a lost man rather than to save him because of his rejection of your witness. You cannot allow that to discourage you. You have to look at that thing and say, okay, it's up to the Lord to do a work here. I just want to be faithful in planting and in watering. And be satisfied with that. You know, we don't have any plaque up here and showing the results of our visitation efforts. And if we did, boy, we'd be ashamed, wouldn't we? It leaves a lot to be desired as far as man can tell, but you know what? I'm not worried about that. I'm concerned with being obedient to the Scripture, being obedient to Christ. And whether nobody ever gets saved, and whether nobody ever comes to church, is of no consequences. I want to be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I just want to be available for God to use. Hey, Lord, if you want to save people today, be my guest. And if you don't want to save them, I'm going to still represent Jesus Christ as a faithful ambassador. Boy, if we would just be content with being obedient, we would find that eventually God would reward that obedience. I mean, when you go fishing, you don't catch fish every time. Sometimes you go and you catch nothing but mosquitoes and gnats. Or a net or a crab trap in your motor. Sometimes all you do is catch trash fish. But you never went, "All right, that's it. I'm burning my boat. I'm throwing away the fishing poles. I'm never going again." No, because there have been times where you went, where you caught some, and it made it worth all the times that you didn't catch them. The same thing is true of being a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. Sometimes you see God do a glorious thing, and you don't know what happened in those people's lives that brought them to that point. Some people think, man, you know, it was my great, wonderful witnessing tactics that won these people to Christ. No, it was God at work punching them like a punching bag all the way up to that point. And when you showed up, they were ripe for the picking. See, somebody else watered, somebody else planted. God gave the increase when you showed up. Amen! But He doesn't always do that. Sometimes He's just looking for somebody to be faithful to plant and water. It's going to take faith. Number two, it's going to take prayer. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Rebekah was barren, just like Sarah. Sarah conceived through faith. Rebekah conceived through prayer. The Apostle Paul was constantly asking for prayers for his preaching the Word with boldness. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." It's going to take prayer. If you'll continue instant in prayer, you'll be ready when the opportunities arise to bear witness for Jesus Christ. If you're not praying as you go, then you might miss the opportunity. You may not recognize the opportunity. But if you're in a state of prayer, then when the opportunity arises, you'll be instant. You'll be ready. Number three, ministering to the saints. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. So how can God give me spiritual children by me ministering to the saints? I'm just telling you what the Bible shows. Here are some ladies who were barren and with no fruit. And they, because of some things that they did and they exercised, put into practice, God blessed them with children. You want children? Here's how to get it. 2 Kings 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Here this lady was barren, and because of her faithfulness and ministering and caring for the saints, the people of God, God blessed her with children. You want to have spiritual fruit? Minister to the saints. Hebrews 6, verse 10 says, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You want to bear spiritual fruit for Christ? You want to see converts? I can tell you one way to do it, and that's minister to God's people that you already are a part of. Next, and this is maybe an unpleasant point, but I can tell you how to get, if those other things don't work, here's another thing you might want to try. And that is death. Look at Genesis 29, verse 31. Genesis 29, 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Rachel's barren. Look at Genesis 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me children, or else I die. That's where I get the title of this message, Give Me Children. But you see here, this woman was so distraught about this thing, so concerned about this thing, so committed to the idea of having children, that she said, Give me children, or else I die. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is going to take a death. It's going to take the death and mortification of this old nature, this flesh, in order for spiritual fruit to be produced. In Romans 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. When I die to self and its desires, God's power will cause me to reproduce Christians after my kind. You want some fruit? You want some children? Do you want enough to die for it? Die to self? Die to your plans and ambitions and will? Next of all, it's going to take separation. Look at Judges chapter 13, verse 2. Judges 13, 2. We find another woman who is barren, has no sons, no daughters, no children. Judges 13, verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. You know what he told her? He said, You're going to have a child, but you better be careful to stay away from certain things. separation. You want God to give you spiritual children, you're going to have to separate from this world. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Lost people observe our lives. What do they see? Are you different? What about you is different? You see, until you become separate from this world, until you come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, God can't be a father unto you, and you can't be his sons and daughters. What is that talking about? Salvation? No, it's talking about God would have to backslide to bless you and give you fruit if you are in the world. Amen. He wants you to come out of the world so that he can be a father unto you, so that he can behave the way a father would behave to his children. When the prodigal son was in the far country, he was still the father's son, but he couldn't benefit from the father's blessings. You want God to bless you with some spiritual fruit, some converts? Come out, amen? And be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, was told to be separate. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We don't fit. We're strange, amen? We're strangers and pilgrims. We're not fugitive and vagabonds like Cain. A fugitive is running from the law. A vagabond is just wandering around aimlessly. No, we're not that. We're strangers. We don't fit here. And we're pilgrims. This world is our temporary home, but it is not our permanent home. Galatians 1:15-16 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus Christ said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You're going to have to follow Him outside the camp bearing His reproach. The Christian life is a separated life. The fruit-bearing life is a separated life. Next of all, it brings me to this point, dedication. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, you're familiar with the story. Hannah is barren. And she wants a child so bad she can taste it. And her adversary, her husband's other wife, is having kids like popcorn. And it's just eating Hannah up, man. And she finally gets to the point where she's in tears, she's beside herself, and she prays and God answers her prayer. 1 Samuel 1 verse 5 says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And in 1 Samuel 1 verse 27 it says, for this Hannah prays, and she says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. You know what I see in that? I see dedication. If you will dedicate yourself to Christ, if you will dedicate your converts to Christ, you'll bear fruit. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You're going to have to commit. You're going to have to dedicate yourself. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. When I get dedicated, others see it, fear, and trust in the Lord. It causes them conviction. It causes them salvation. Why? Because God has done a miraculous work in my life. Amen. Brethren, give me children. Do you want children? You're going to have to get dedicated. Not only that, you're going to have to believe in God's Word. Luke 1 verse 6 says about Zechariah and Elizabeth. It says, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. They walked in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They believed God's Word. You know what? God rewarded them and gave them a child, John the Baptist. There's a pattern here. Every time you turn around, somebody's barren, and then God answers their prayer and gives them a child. It's a shame that society looks upon children now as a burden, or as a mistake, or as a consequence, and not a reward. The fruit of his womb, of the womb, is his reward. That leads me to think that maybe the reason why a lot of Christians don't win souls is not because they haven't tried, it's because they don't want to have the responsibility of taking care of their converts. You can have a fellow like Billy Graham come through and preach to 10 million people and give an invitation and people come forward. And do you think he ever once gives one of those people a personal phone call? Do you think he ever once sits down with one of those people, one, and grounds them in the truth of the Scripture? You know why? It's too much trouble. It's too much trouble. And maybe that's why some Christians don't reproduce after their kind. Because you know what happens? As soon as you get some people saved, they cause some problems. You got to help them out. Not only that, but they start looking at you a little closer and following you. And you become responsible for this new life that has been born. And brother, let me tell you something. When you first got married, you remember when you first got married? And everything was happy-go-lucky and carefree and wonderful? And then you had kids? You know what? You sobered up and grew up real quick. You know why? Because you got a responsibility. God put His finger on you and said, okay, this isn't about you anymore. It's about those kids. That's why a lot of Christians don't win souls. That's why they don't bear fruit and multiply. Because they're concerned with themselves and how their needs are met rather than taking care of other people. And maybe why God won't add to our numbers is because He knows what we would do if we got them. I hope that wouldn't be the case. I pray to God if God would increase our numbers and give us more people in here, that we would take care of them, that we would be willing to spend and be spent for them. Raise up another generation of Christians that are strong in faith and in belief in the Word of God. And will multiply after their kind. We've got to start this process back up, brethren. We're all getting older and dying. We got to make sure there's another generation after us, if the Lord tarries, that's going to take up the banner of Christ and tell this world no. Amen. That leads me to my last point. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, these two harlots come in before Solomon, and there's an argument as to whose child this is. And in 1 Kings 3, verse 26, then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king. I might have to give the background of this story. Maybe some of you have never even read that. I find it kind of hard to believe that people don't know those stories from the Bible, but nowadays you never know. Solomon has become king, and God has blessed him with wisdom, and there come in two harlots one day, and they have this child. And the one harlot says, we both had a son at the same time, and she said this woman was sleeping with her son, and she rolled over on him and killed him. He died in the middle of the night, and she took her dead baby and put him on my bed and took my baby in her bed. And that's my baby. And the other one says, no, it's not. It's my baby. And there's an argument about whose baby it is. And God gives Solomon some wisdom. Here's the wisdom that he exercised. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels... Oh, I got to give you this part. Solomon says, all right, bring me a sword. Somebody comes up with a sword and he says, we're going to take it. It's impossible to tell whose kid this is, so tell you what, we're going to cut it in half, give half of it to you and half of it to you. Everybody goes, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. You know what determined her motherhood? Solomon didn't get out the DNA testing thing and get the biological equipment and figure out who it was that gave birth to this kid. It was immaterial by that point. It was immaterial by that point whose biological mother was. You know what was important?
Love.
There you go. Caring for converts. You want God to bless you with spiritual children? You're going to have to take care of them. If you're not going to go through the trouble and go through the self-sacrifice and go through the steps that it's necessary to make sure that these people are well-grounded in the truth and well taken care of, then don't have any kids. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. God has given us everything necessary to be fruitful and multiply. The question is, are you willing to do it? And I'll close this sermon as I began it. You know, there are ladies all over the place that want kids, and this world is butchering them and murdering them in abortion clinics, and people are throwing them away in garbage cans. There's teenagers at proms that give birth in a bathroom, stuff the baby in a garbage can, go back out on the dance floor and dance. That's happened. People find little baby, newborn babies in garbage cans and dumpsters all over this country on a regular basis. We're surrounded by people who want nothing to do with the responsibility or privilege it is to raise children. And you know what that does? That pushes in the knife a little bit further for those who really want kids and would love them and would take care of them and would be a blessing to them. God sees that. There are churches all over this country and all over this town where new converts are just thrown to the wolves. They're thrown to the lions. And they're left to fend for themselves. They're not even given the pure milk of the Word of God. They're given garbage. They're given junk food. And we have got the truth. You know what that does to me? That burdens my heart. It upsets me. And I look at this thing and I say, God, is there a reason why that those churches are so big and so prosperous and we're so small? I mean, I'd like to comfort myself and think that it's because truth is unpopular. You know, there was only 8 on the Noah's Ark. I'd like to comfort myself and think that it's that, rather than it's something in us that's causing us to be barren. But I have to examine myself. And you have to examine yourself. When's the last time you won somebody to Christ? In the sense that the Lord used you to plant and water, and God gave the increase, and somebody can point to you and say, it's because of them I got saved. I understand Christ saves them, Christ died for them. But brother, Timothy was called Paul's son in the faith. You got any children in the faith? If you don't, you're disobeying somewhere. Christ said, if you abide in me, you will bring forth much fruit. Must I go in empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet? I mean, Christ died for them, man. Those people aren't any worse off than you were before you got saved. But somebody cared enough about you to give you the truth, and God blessed their witness. Are you opening your mouth? Are you willing to go through these steps? Knowing Christ, faith, prayer, ministering to the saints, death, separation, dedication, belief in God's Word, and caring for converts. I think God's desperate for a witness. I think He'll use even little old pea-picking you and me. I think He's desperate for somebody that will just be a voice. They came to John the Baptist. They said, who are you? Are you Christ? Are you Jeremiah? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm just a voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's all God's looking for, is somebody to be a mouthpiece. He'll add the rest. He'll take care of the rest. You be willing to be a mouthpiece. May God bless you. Father, thank you for the message. I pray, dear God, that these people, these Christians, would take it to heart, Lord. And I know that there's times in my life and where it seems that it was barren, but in truth, you were doing some groundwork. You were laying a foundation. You were preparing for greater things. And God, I thank you that there are people all over this world that I can fondly bring to remembrance, Lord, that I had a hand in bringing in the truth of the Word of God. And and seeing them saved. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that that I have that privilege. And when the times of unfruitfulness come and go, and when the seasons of barrenness come, Lord, I take great comfort in knowing that God has used me and God's going to continue to use me. I pray for your people here this morning, Lord, that some of them have never had that privilege of seeing another person trust Jesus Christ as their Savior by virtue of their witness. And so when they go through a season of barrenness, or when they continue to go through this season of barrenness, it's discouraging to them. And they see people all around them that trust Christ, and yet their family, who they love, who they witness to, who they pray for, who they plead for, still remain unsaved. Lord, it's discouraging to them. I pray that you'd encourage their hearts, Lord, and give them grace and help them, Lord, to be patient and faithful and dedicated and separated and caring and all the things that Christ has for them to do. Help them to realize, Lord, that planting and watering, and one day you're going to give them increase. I pray that we would judge ourselves so that we wouldn't be judged with the world. And I pray, dear God, that we would examine our lives and help us to see where maybe we're hindering your work. And as I said, Lord, so many times in my past where I was zealous to see somebody get saved, I pushed when it wasn't time. They weren't ready. And I know the Scripture says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." And I know that salvation is simple, but it is a spiritual work. And it can be forced to the point where it's not real and genuine. And it has devastating effects upon people. Help us, Lord, to examine our lives and examine ourselves and to come after you so that we can be fishers of men. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day. See you this afternoon at 4:00.